Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, it's good to see a lot of moms here. I am definitely missing a few moms, I guess, but this is a good day to stay home and sleep a little later and spend time with your families. This is your day, moms. So thank you, those that are here and that brought their moms and that are spending time with us this day. Mother's Day. And I'm so glad that there is a designated day to honor mothers. One day. But I'm sure you would agree that one day isn't enough. For the honor that they deserve. It should be every day of the year, right? Now, the responsibilities of a mom are so many. There's babies to take care of, husbands to look after. That's a good one, right? Well, if it wasn't for my wife, I don't know where I'd be. And you prepare meals, and some of you even have jobs, and yet you're able to manage all these things. But where's time for God, right? But yet, He meets you just where you are. Maybe in the middle of washing dishes or fixing a dinner, He sees you, and you know that He's there with you. So when you hear the name of mother or mom or mama or mommy or maybe even grandma or nana, or for some of you, was it abuela? Yeah, that's that's another grandma name. So what comes to your mind? Is it one of her special meals that no one could ever duplicate? Is it when the tears are flowing and the pain doesn't seem to want to go away? And she has a way of just giving a hug like no one else can. She's the only one that, as we say in Spanish, that makes the coco go away. All the little hurts and so forth. Only that mom can. Somehow she has her way of doing this, just making whatever ails you to go away. She loves you even when your behavior isn't very lovable. And there's a special flow that can only come from her. If you're blessed to still have a mom, honor her, love her, and take care of her. Not just this day, but every day of your life. Every day of the year, take care of her. So let's pray one more time. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the moms that are here this day, Lord, and the honor, Lord, that is before them, Lord. How you see them, how you take care of them, Lord. I ask that as I bring my message this morning, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, that whatever comes from my mouth, Lord, is from your heart. And so, Lord, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for all those that came this morning, Lord, and all those that are home enjoying their families, Lord. Just bless them, Lord, and may they just have a wonderful time with whomever they're with. Amen. So I'm even afraid to tell you what the title of my sermon is. The title of my sermon is Mighty Women. And I thought that was pretty proper because we see the kind of the attention, all the noise, all that comes with every time that we say this word, mighty women. And rightly so. You know, when you really look at the attendance you'll notice there are more ladies than there are men. Where's the guys? Right? And so lots of times it isn't that we don't have the loudness. We just don't have the amount of people to, if you want to call it, compete against the mighty women. But God's been doing a great thing with the ladies in this church. And I just wanted to, even in my message, which was proper being Mother's Day, and today is a day to just put your eyes upon all the ladies that you know, ladies that maybe you haven't seen in a while. Time to honor the ladies in our church, in our lives. So one thing that I believe we would all agree on is that all that is written in our Bible is not only true, but also important for us to know. So as we read the scriptures and meet the people that God used to shape who we are today, we find that most of the Bible heroes were men. Or at least that's what it seems. How about names like Sarah, Ruth, Esther, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus? These and so many others were also mighty women. Mighty women of the Bible that God had a plan for them to be a part of his ministry on this earth. Sarah, wife of Abraham, and even in her old age became mother of a nation. Esther, a Jew, becomes queen of Persia. Mary Magdalene should probably be considered the 13th disciple. In the first century Jewish culture, women were usually treated as second-class citizens with few of the rights that men had. They could not be disciples to rabbis like the men were. Mary Magdalene traveled with and always of service to Jesus and the rest of the group. Jesus showed that all people were created equal. He lifted women from degradation to the joy of fellowship and service. Women today can enjoy that privilege. I want to go to Luke 23:55. And I guess I'll get my glasses on. And it says, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Jesus and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. I wanted to read this because it talks about women who had come with Jesus. They, wherever Jesus went, as I mentioned with Mary Magdalene, there were ladies that were always with that group. It wasn't just Mary Magdalene. There was quite a few ladies that would always travel with him. And these ladies, as you'll see, were not only there during his time of ministry, but they were there to the last moment of his time on earth. And as you see in this scripture here, that they followed Joseph and saw the tomb. This is the tomb that Jesus was going to be laid in, but they just didn't see Jesus come off of the cross, and that was it. They followed him till they could not follow him any longer. They wanted to see where their Savior was going to be placed. They wanted to see everything that they could of where Jesus was. And so these ladies were devoted to who Jesus was. And so let's continue on with Luke 24, and we'll continue on with 1 through 12. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to the others. And it was Mary Magdalene's, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with whom told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had just happened. The women, they were convinced. Once the angel spoke to them, I think they were a little bit kind of flabbergasted or shocked to see an angel. Every time that an angel appears to somebody is fear not. So I would imagine that that's part of what these ladies went through, you know, and seeing the stone rolled away and so forth. But they were convinced and they believed. And most women, and this is not to take in the wrong way, but most women are blessed with childlike faith. They're more eager to believe and to obey. On the other hand, we men seem to analyze. We tend to analyze the things that are before us and see. And we analyze sometimes before we take our next step. And in reality, that can be for a good balance. I know in my own personal life, it has been a good balance for my wife and myself. Stella has always been my wife, the one to go out and explore and want to find out more. She was the first one to go out and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and know how to speak in tongues. And she was the first one to find a church whenever. And all for me, it was kind of like, I'll think about it. But seeing the change in her life, seeing the change in her demeanor and her spirit, I couldn't just sit back and say, well, there's nothing going on here. You know, there's something different about the woman that I married. And yet, still analyzing, still, let's check it out here. You know, we don't want to go there just yet. And then as we moved on, she went to a church and she went before I did. And she says, this is a good church. It was a spirit-filled church. And she really encouraged me to go. And so at first it was like, no, I'm okay. You go ahead. We'll go ahead and go. And finally, I submitted and I went, started enjoying. But then I remember telling her, it's like, all right, I said, we're going to go to this church, but I don't want those people to be coming over to my house. You know? I don't want those people at my home. And I said, well, that was kind of the agreement. Well, as it turned out, I formed a good relationship with the associate pastor. And before long, he says, okay, would you come to my home group? Started going to his home group. And little by little, I start kind of being reeled in, you know. And eventually, he says, can we do home group in your house? That was what I said, not these people. But I said, sure, you know, let's do it in my house. You know, we're a good host. You know, we can do this. So I had the group start meeting in my house. It wasn't a few weeks later. He says, we're going to split, and I'm going to start another group, and you're keeping this one. Thinking back, how did I get here, you know? I didn't even want those people in my house. But all that to say is that my wife always took the steps before I ever stepped into it. But it was good because sometimes, you know, we can, maybe the excitement, we can get off course. We can do and get into places that maybe we shouldn't go. And maybe for, like I said, for us guys, maybe we take too much time to try to figure it out when these ladies are just saying, hey, he's here, just go for it. And so even today, you know, I see that with my wife, you know, that she's out in La La Land, you know what I mean? Always out enjoying life, you know? And it's a, I kind of wish sometimes that I could be that way. But I am who God made me to be, and she is who God made her to be. But it really works. Trust me, it really works. Mary Magdalene was the first to see the resurrected Jesus. He knew that she would believe and tell others. She didn't save or birth a nation, but it was her gratitude, love, and devotion for Jesus and the behind-the-scenes work that makes her a very mighty woman. You don't have to yell. There's going to be a lot of that mighty women stuff in here, but you can save it to the end. Okay. 2 Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote. And at this time, he's coming to the end of his life. And so like everything, you wonder what, you know, if it was any of us, what would we want? What would we want to leave? What would our legacy be? Not only writing 2/3 of the New Testament, but who would take over? You know, who would take over his ministry? Who had he invested a lot of his life to? And that was Timothy. That would be the guy that he would pass on that torch of faith that Paul carried so brightly. So let's read 2 Timothy 1 through 5. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. So Timothy was like a son to Paul. And as I said earlier, much of what Paul, who Paul was, had been invested in this younger man. This younger man would be the one to be speaking to a new generation, would be the new voice. Now, Timothy's preparation for such a time had been paved not only by Paul, but by two mighty women, a mother and a grandmother. Mother and a grandmother. A mother and a grandmother that never stopped praying, never stopped teaching, leading, just being that example that that Timothy needed for that time that he would one day be the guy, be the one speaking God's word, be the guy that Paul would rely on, that would trust to carry on all those things that Paul had begun. And so, but there was two ladies that were there when Timothy was growing. They help place him in that place. So the question is, for a lot of us young moms or just any mom, are you preparing your family for the planting of good seed? What are we doing in our lives that is helping our young children? And I'm going to tell you another personal story that relates to this, and that is that whenever I have three daughters, nine grandchildren, and each daughter gave me three of them, so they're pretty evenly divided. But we had the privilege of living close enough to my daughters, so where we've seen these guys, little guys, the big guys, we've seen them grow. But my daughters all worked, husbands worked, and so my wife wound up being the caregiver to the little guys, you know. And so they would drop off the kids every morning at our house, and Stella would take care of them. But what she did during that time, it just wasn't turn on the TV and, you know, I'll do my stuff around the house. She actually did things like taught them to pray, taught them to worship. I remember sometimes having to take videos of them being in front of the TV. I think back then, I mean, that's a while back, they had this little guy named Salty or something that, and it was all about praise and all that, but all my little nine little guys were out jumping and raising their hands. And, you know, every one of them today knows how to pray in the Spirit, every one of them. And so I say all this is because that was an opportunity to speak into the lives of little guys that you don't know what they're going to turn out to be, do we? You know, they're born, they're you know, they all go in different directions sometimes. But guess what? Give them that foundation. Give them that foundation that they know Jesus, that they know where to turn when their lives are not exactly going in the right direction. You know? They're going to be teenagers one day, and we all know what that means, huh? Got your own mind, you got your own path, and sometimes maybe you see that little blip, but guess what? We were there. We came back, you know? I had my time that I say, God, I'll talk to you later. You know, right now I'm just having a great time, you know? I'm having fun. And so I see that with a lot of my grandkids. I know that they have a good foundation because it was placed there. And I know some of you have seen the fruit of that. You know, some of you have met my grandson Daniel, and he's a good example of what God has blessed me with. They all know who Jesus is. And I've told them, I said, that's the inheritance. We're leaving you Jesus. When we go, we know that we left you Jesus. And they go, well, where's the money? You know, can there be some money along with Jesus? But no, and that's just it. You know, every opportunity you get, speak into your little ones' lives. As small as they may be today, they hear you. Their little spirit hears you. Pray for them. Talk to them. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Just 34 and 35. And it says, women should remain silent in the churches. Okay, no more yelling about mighty women, okay? You know, you got to be quiet, that's it. No more yelling. I wanted to bring this up. It says, they are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask. Ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Isn't it amazing that if you take that one little thing there, can change so much in a church body? And I just want to bring this up because a lot of people take this scripture to mean that women couldn't speak at all. And what Paul, you know, if you'll read prior to this, and Paul's talking about orderly worship. And, you know, even Think about it. Even if a guy was to want to be making noise where, like right now, if you wanted to start yelling or whatever, and I'm trying to speak, not quite an orderly worship, right? But these ladies, you know, this was a new time. This was a time of new converts. And there were new converts. They had found a new freedom. And they were hungry, hungry to learn. You know, today we can open up our Bible and gain so much and learn so much. But back then, these ladies were new to this Christian movement. And so maybe they were asking questions at a wrong time, maybe trying to get the attention of their husbands. Maybe they couldn't hear or understand the speaker. But, you know, you see other scriptures where Paul acknowledged that men and women could prophesy. And there's Romans 16:1 has a note on a lady named Phoebe. Says that she was a deacon. So people did have important roles in this new church. And so there was no trying to silence. It was just more of trying to teach how to do things in an orderly, correct way. So ladies, man, am I glad that you guys talk. I'm glad I get to hear you. Let's go to Joel 2:28 and 29. And you all are familiar with this one. And it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In those days, today are those days. Ladies, you are not to remain silent. You know, God, just as he wrote all these books in the Bible with all the names of these great, mighty women, God is writing a book about you today. You are the mighty woman of today. You're one of the heroes, just as some of the names that I mentioned. We read about them and we're just blessed with how God used them, how God used their lives and their walk. There, like I said, most of the people in there were men, but there was also ladies that were heroes of the Bible. So ladies, whether you are on center stage or behind the scenes, your voice is essential to the kingdom. This world needs mighty women to speak God's heart, whether it's to your family or to a larger audience. I have one more mighty woman to speak of, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So let's go to Luke 1. And I'm going to start with verse 28. And this is when the angel comes to Mary, and he's telling her about the upcoming event. And so it starts off by saying, the angel went to her and said, greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So you think about, here's this young lady going about her day, whatever, and here comes, he sees first of all this angel, and he's saying, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Kind of like, hi, Mary. Guess what? You, you won the grand prize, and here I am to tell you about it. And of course she did. But it says that she was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So to have something like this be happening to you, putting yourself in her place, you would be like, what is going on here? But yet she's there to listen, and she knows that there is something wonderful. Of course, there was an anticipation of a new Messiah. Who would have thought it was her, right? I don't think she was saying it's going to be me, but here it is. But the angels said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. So you think about just that one little statement. What? Who was she? Who was she? What was she like? How did she find such favor with God? You know, was she doing something different than everybody else? Yeah, I think we should all kind of wonder, you know, why Mary? Why Mary? But yet God showed favor upon her. There was something, he knew the end of the story. He knew that this lady, young girl at the time, was the exact person to carry out what needed to be done. But he goes on, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. Good question, right? She might have been young, but she probably said, you know, I know how babies are made, and I'm not there. And so, you know, it's a good question to ask this angel. How's this going to happen? You know, everything that's being said to her is way out somewhere, but she's listening. She's not just saying, man, I'm out of here. She's listening to what this angel is telling her. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. And this is the part that I love about Mary. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. All this stuff, do you really think she understood everything that was going to happen? Everything that this angel had spoken to her? You know, I'm not sure how old she was, but I keep hearing she was still a teenager. And so all this first encounter for Mary to realize that she is now going to be the mother of the Savior. A lot to take in. But what does she do? She says, hey, if that's what the Lord wants, I'm your girl. I'm the one. I will do this. And so when you look at Mary's full picture, she saw the arrival of Jesus as her baby son. Babies need to be taken care of. She picked him up when she cried, probably changed his diaper every so often, nursed him. And then she watched him grow. And like any mom, worried about him, as it did at when he was 12 years old, when he was nowhere to be found. She saw his smiles and heard his laughter. And then saw him being mocked and rejected. And then she was at the cross and watched him die. And you know, maybe not to this extent, but I'm sure that many of the pains and the pleasures that she experienced in motherhood can be understood by you, by mothers everywhere. I'm sure we've all, you ladies have all gone through your times where maybe your kids weren't in the right place. Maybe they were being picked on. Maybe they came home crying, or maybe just life wasn't what it should have been for them. Maybe they had, things at school that weren't the best for them. Maybe they got into the wrong crowds, and all you could do was pray to God. But you loved them anyway, and you were there to heal their cocos. You were there to take care of them. What I would like to do is ask all of you to stand, if you would, please. And I would like that somebody, if you're a man that's by yourself, or find some lady to put your hands upon their shoulder. And I want to pray for the ladies today. I want to pray for the ladies as the Lord would lead me. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I thank you for every woman that is here this day, Lord. Every mighty woman, Lord. Wherever they are in your plan, Lord, wherever they are in the journey that you set out for them. I thank you, Lord, especially for the moms, Lord. Those ladies that, as I said earlier, Lord, that with all the responsibilities, Lord, they still found a time to find you. And Lord, I come now and I ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to every lady here, Lord. Every lady in their own place, Lord. If there's someone here that maybe didn't have a good relation with your mom, I think the Lord wants to minister to that. And I say that in the name of Jesus, that be lifted off of your shoulders, and that the Lord would begin to bring healing in those relationships that you might have had with your mom that weren't quite what they should have been. And you moms that are on the other side and maybe didn't do well with your daughter, I ask that the Lord would come and just minister to that and bless you with the wisdom and the insight to reach out to your daughters. There's ladies here that lost babies. Maybe never even got to see them. Maybe they passed at a very young age. The Holy Spirit just wants to bless your hearts and let you know that he has them in his hands. He's holding them. Thank you, Lord. And to some of you ladies that maybe were never in any way a mom, I say the Lord would say to Maybe you don't have anyone that's a daughter, but you can be an aunt to somebody. You can be a sister to somebody. Maybe there's a grandma out there that just needs a daughter. Ask God to show you where you belong and take that place wherever God leads you. So Lord, we thank you. We bless what you have done this day, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit never fails us, Lord. Bless every lady that is here this day, those that are not here, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would just touch them wherever they are this day. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. Go play with your kids.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.